IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners, sisters and brothers from all around the world, this is IRIB English Radio, and today I have the pleasure to be the host of this episode of Point of View. I am Bita at your service, and with me I have two dear guest speakers, my dear brother Ali. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And my dear brother, Muhammad, assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullah. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's my pleasure too to have you in here in this controversial discussion, which I'm really interested in. So we're going to go through our topic today, which is actually voluntary public forces, that we call it as BASIJ in our own country, which is a kind of a voluntary group of people who work in different domains, as you know. First of all, I want you to tell me the philosophy and actually the comments that you have on this domain, and then we're going to go through the practical parts in other domains which contain this matter. What is the philosophy of this public force?
Yeah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam and his Immaculate Progeny. Well, voluntary public forces, or what they are namely called besieged forces in our country, actually is a social movement that it can happen in every society or in every community in different situations and due to different circumstances. But I think if we want to have a look at the philosophy of such movements and such, let's say, public voluntary movements, it is exactly as the late Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said, that it is exactly what happened at the time of the Holy Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know that at the Medina of that day, people, the Muslims, were usually gathered in the Masjid, Masjid al-Nabi, the Mosque of the Holy Prophet, and they came to solve the problems of the Islamic Ummah, and they gave even consultant to the Holy Prophet. The Prophet was using their ideas, their viewpoints, and actually shared his own viewpoints with them. And in case he wanted to tell them something important, he gathered the people at the Masjid. And people were there. I mean, they actually usually attended for the congregations, and then it was a good center for making big and important decisions. So when Imam Rahmatullah alayhi salam was asked that what is this basij and what is the philosophy of the basij, he says this is not something new. It was exactly something that was in the dawn of Islam. The youth of the society, when the youth of the Islamic Ummah were ready and were actually prepared to do whatever is needed, any action which was needed for the betterment of the position of the Islamic Ummah. So it was actually an innovation in this century that was done by the late Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi in 1970s. And he called it, and he gave it the title of BASIJ, what we call it, public voluntary forces. So this is exactly what, was practiced at that time, the dawn of Islam. But it can have different functions. So the BASIJ can sometimes actually have some functions like what they did at the time of war, the imposed war between Iraq and Iran. And if you ask every single person in this country what was one of the mysteries of the victory of Iranian nation in that war, and while all the other countries of the world were in one front of the battle and only Iran alone was in the other side, so they might tell you that, yes, if it was not the help and the, let's say, the that good function and functionality of these forces, we would not succeed in reaching to this victory. So at the time of peace, again, they might have another function, not necessarily a military function. At that time, which was the time of war, it had that function. So at the time of peace, they might have some other functions like that. Like what? Like cultural activities. Right after the war, these brothers or sisters who were involved in BASIJ issues or this public voluntary forces, they tried to work on the culture of the Islamic Ummah, and they did lots of works, I don't know, in different areas. Again, we reached to the time of the a corona outbreak. Again, they came to help the people with vaccination of a variety range of the classes of the society with the vaccinations in different groups and in different projects, namely the project of Shahid Soleimani. So they actually did the vaccination, I think, in no time. I think in less than 3 months, they tried to vaccinate almost
70% of the population.
Almost 60-70% of the whole population.
Yeah.
So it was the kind of work that these actually groups of people have been doing.
Thank you for your elaboration about these public voluntary forces. The thing I want to tell you is that, as you know, there is a long history before these public voluntary forces, from the first to actually appearance of Islam up to here. We had this public voluntary forces, but the thing is, as you know, at a present time, we are somehow more developed than, for example, 1400 years ago. So the usage of public voluntary forces is, I think, somehow weakened. So there should be a kind of a strong motivation for people, for the public, to go through these voluntary actually aids for people, not only aids but also any movement which is considered as public voluntary force. The thing I want to ask you is that what is their motivation, the public motivation for actually making these voluntary forces at a time that we have enough resources, I think, and actually we are more developed than, for example, 1400 years ago.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. To answer your question, as a matter of fact, because you brought in this historical aspect of Basit saying that now it's becoming more archaic with the, and it's probably not really in line with the modern ways that we might have. I'd also like to, in answering this question, I'd also like to correct my brother here, Brother Ali. You see, it's not the invention of the noble prophet. The Basij, this public voluntary forces, was not really the invention of the noble prophet. Rather, it's the way that God carried out his mission. So we can say it's a reinvention of the through Imam Khomeini for Iranian revolution. But even before that, all the prophets had this way of godly bringing the people voluntarily. And then this is, again, we can use the ayah, La ikraha fid din. So they would come and teach the people in the first instance. First of all, prove that they are the loyal people to God Almighty, that they are the persons that are real role models. And when this has been proven, they will bring the people, mobilize the people around themselves voluntarily again. And it's the people, it's the public. And the big difference between the tyrannic forces and the tyrannic governments, the tyrannic way of living, is normally they have coup d'etats. If you look at how the tyrannical forces came into power, look at how America came into power.
Yeah.
They came from Europe, they entered into the US, and they butchered whoever was in the lands. Instead of, you know, maybe if it was like an Islamic mission, it would have been a mission of guidance. Going there, not really butchering the people, but rather guiding them towards an ultimate source of life. Right. So this way of mobilizing people towards one ultimate goal was the way that God Almighty has taught the prophets, and after the prophets, the ulama too, and the imams and the ulama too, bring the people together. And if you ask me the question, what were the other ulamas doing before Imam Khomeini, that Imam Khomeini eventually used this, you know, Basij or this public voluntary force as a tool to start his Islamic mission, they were developing this public voluntary forces. If you look at from the time of the Ghibat of Imam Mahdi until Imam Khomeini, you will see every single scholar, every single imam, from Sheikh Mufid, Sheikh Saduq, all these people, they come together. Their goal was to essentially, if you look at each one of these people, they're doing, they're trying to get the people, their core mission is to get the people, mobilize the people voluntarily, and then prepare them for a greater movement. So this way has been proven not only in these 1400 years that you mentioned, but even before that, from the beginning of the history, where as far as mankind can trace the records, it has been proven. And even after these 1400 years, when Imam Khomeini has reinitiated this mission using the Basij, using the public voluntary force that was prepared and brought by the other scholars before him, he used this. And then he was able to successfully start a big Islamic mission. And it wasn't without this force that he did this mission. So even after the the revolution, even after the revolution, as my brother mentioned, you will see that this force not only helped in the military area, but also helped in areas such
medical
areas, and generally in every area where the country might feel there is a need for, outside of the governance structure, Basij would enter and selflessly help the people. And it's still this way still proves to be the valid and the more correct way of doing it.
You're telling me that there is a strong connection between these kind of leaders, these people who just persuade other people to come for this aid and for helping others in different aspects. But the thing I want to ask you right now is that, how about non-Islamic countries? Do they have other leaders like that? Or they literally have public voluntary forces or something like that? Or no, they are trying to have something like this. What is the story about that?
Yeah, they tried. Kind of if you look at the Arab uprising, the Arab Spring, the so-called Arab Spring recently, that's what they were trying to do in Egypt and in Tunisia and stuff. The people themselves, though, you see, you have to consider the strong leadership as well. What lacked, in my opinion, in this Arab Spring was the proper leadership. And that's what made it just, you know, go away in that instance. And it had
Certainly
a lot of
useless.
Negative effects as well. With a proper leadership and this public voluntary force, a movement would be successful. And you brought up the question about more modern ways. The best and the most way of, you know, more ethically approaching a movement is through a public voluntary force.
Yeah.
Other ways, you see coup d'etat, you see, for example, military takeover of a government, of a movement. These are not ethical. These are forces.
I want to add a complimentary point to the explanations of the brother.
And
just to cover your previous and this question of yours. Actually, you said that it might not work today because we are highly developed and the countries or, I don't know, communities might not be in need of such.
Not only these, but I think the modern civilization, the modern society is somehow more selfish than the past time. Mm-hmm. And also this is the main problem.
Exactly. I wanted to say that this movement itself is something against selfishness of the societies, because it is something that brings people to involve for their own affairs. So this is the involvement of masses of the nation for their own sakes, right? So do you think that people would get stuck in case they are just for your own affair, for your family, for the people in your vicinity? You are going to do a service and give a service to the people around.
Yeah.
See, that's why they are motivated with this, actually, motivation that this is something for the betterment of the life of other Muslims or other, let's say, neighbors of yours. So we see that it's still today, it's still this concept and this movement is valid and it works. And to this question of yours that you ask lastly, on the other countries, are they able to have such a thing? I think when we have taken this model from Islam, I mean, a model from the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so it means that all Muslim countries and even non-Muslim countries can take some lessons from that.
Yeah,
we have seen that, for example.
It comes from a godly source.
Yeah, it comes from a divine and godly source. Then look, as we saw in the history, that many leaders of the world have taken their lessons from Imam Hussein alayhi salam, from the kind of, let's say, freedom and freedom seeking that he injected to the soul of the people after him. You see, we have some people who are not following Islam and they are not actually Muslims in general, but Muslims at all, but they are actually saying that they have taken their lessons from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The same way that people from, specifically from Islamic Ummah, to take their lesson from the Holy Prophet and to involve people in their own affairs. In case you see a Muslim country is needless of such movement and activity, we have to doubt. It means that there is a, let's say, gap between the administration and the nation.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to this episode. This is all the time we had. I wish you enjoyed the discussion of today. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Everyone was say, please save me, accept al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا.